Good evening. Very thankful for Brother Tom leading us in those songs. He keeps it moving, doesn't he? I like that. I also appreciate the prayer. So many have surgeries. Those that have had surgeries, many of you, I'm certain most here have had some surgeries. You know how important it is. There are no small surgeries if it's you. That's the way I look at it. So thank God for the good doctors that we have. And we appreciate the many prayers that go up. And for those that have lost loved ones, we've had several. And we always know others that we may not even mention. So I appreciate the prayer. I don't know how Brother Clifford could remember all those things. I thank him for the prayer. We started a lesson 2 weeks ago on the second coming of Christ. We're going to call this lesson as a thief in the night. But it is a continuation of what we studied in 1 Thessalonians. We have said that in every chapter you have a scriptures dealing with the second coming of Christ. I'm going to very rapidly mention some things without going into them thoroughly. Excuse me. We find that Jesus is going to appear a second time, Hebrews 9:28. He said, I will come again, in John 14 and verse 3. He went away in the clouds, he will come back in the clouds, Acts chapter 1, 9 to 11. When he comes back with the clouds, every eye shall see him. If he comes back tonight, you'll see the Lord. You will see the Lord. I will see the Lord. He'll come back, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, with his mighty angels. He'll come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on the wicked. In Thessalonians, they would await for the Son from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, right at the end of the chapter. So we're still waiting. We are still waiting for the Son. And we're taught to patient. We're to have a patient waiting for Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Actually, 1 and 2 Thessalonians have quite a bit of information on the second coming. And I hope perhaps in the near future, not sure when, but we need to study about. They had a misunderstanding, and then we read about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They took these scriptures as saying he's just going to come back at any time, any minute. And Paul had to tell them there's something that was going to happen first, and that was a great apostasy from the faith. If you've not read those scriptures, we will try to study them. All I can do is present them. People that do not study the Bible have no acquaintance with it. They have no acquaintance that Jesus said, I'll build my church. And they have no understanding of history, of the church, or of the Bible to know that there was foretold a great apostasy. But we can become a member of the Lord's church tonight. And when I say the Lord's church, I mean the one that he built. Someday we'll be in the presence of the Lord at his coming. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 20. So we will be in the actual presence of the Lord. He is with us now. You remember he told his apostles, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he is with us now. He'll be with us when we die. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I think all of us have certain fears about death. I don't care who you are. It has a mysterious side. We wonder about it. But we walk by faith and not by sight. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And we believe that the Lord will be with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We said last week when he comes back, he will be coming back with all his saints. And that is the excellent translation, because right in a few words later, in chapter 4, that was 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, and in the very next chapter, he talks about when Jesus comes back, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's coming back. Those that have died in Christ, they're coming back. It'd be their spirits are coming back because the body's in the grave. There is going to be a resurrection of the body. A lot of people don't know how that's going to take place. Only God knows how. Do you know how it's going to take place? They say, well, what if it was eaten up by some animal or dissolved in acid? It doesn't matter how it was done. God created us, and he's going to resurrect the body, but it will not be this fleshly body as such. It's going to be raised an immortal body. That means it's not subject to death. The angels are immortal. They're not subject to death. So the Lord's going to be coming back. When he comes back, we read in John 6:38 and 39, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. It's interesting that individuals would take this passage and not understand the other passages that deal with the subject. If this was the only passage in the Bible, you'd probably come away with the idea that, you know, that once you're saved, you're always saved. Said, I should lose nothing. All that God gave him. Well, who are the ones that God gave him? It's those that follow Jesus, like John 8 and 12. It's those that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have three parables in Matthew 25. I suggest that you read all of them because they all deal with the second coming. And we have virgins that were members of the church in the first parable, and some of them were unwise. They weren't ready. The door was shut. It's too late. And the door is shut at the end of time. It's too late. You will not enter in. We have the parable of the talents. We have individuals in the church that don't do anything. They sit around and they're lazy. And the Lord comes back and they're not ready. Whether you have one talent, two talents, five talents, or 1,000 talents, you're to use whatever you have according to your ability. And then we have the final parable in Matthew chapter 25. And the judge is coming back. And all nations are going to be there. And there'll be some that did not care for the hungry or the poor or the needy or the naked. And they will be lost. So if you just had that chapter and nothing else, and we could have 100 other scriptures. So study it in detail later. But he said that should raise it up again at the last day. It's not unusual when I go to the grocery store and there'll be a little line, sometimes a big line. I try to find the shortest one, don't you? You get in line and, you know, sometimes you're the last one. We understand what that means. If I'm the last one in line, I look around behind me, there's nobody else back there. I'm the last one. The last day, there will be no other days. The Bible is very clear on it. He says in John 6 and 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, and that means a continual belief, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 44, again I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 54, I will raise him up at the last day. The resurrection's on the last day. That's it. The last day is a judgment day. So you know the wicked's got to be there on the last day. They've got to be raised too. Those verses dealt primarily with God's children. John 6, four times I will raise him up at the last day. But John 12 and 48 says, he that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one to judge him. The word that I've spoken, the sayings, they'll judge him in the last day. So the day of the resurrection, there's no days after. No millennial reign, nothing afterwards. John 5, 28 and 29, it's all going to take place in the same hour. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Remember we studied it last week in chapter 4? That he's coming back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. There's going to be some noise when the Lord comes back. I often think about individuals coming to services time and time again, and maybe year after year. If you've been thinking about doing what's right, you need to do what's right. Sometime, day or night, doesn't matter. Sometime, you make a call and obey the Lord. But they're going to come for it. The grave's going to come for it. They that have done good under the resurrection of life, they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. I've noticed recently that, I don't think I'll mention his name, but a very educated man in the political realm has written a book on power, and I find it interesting that he calls it negative power and positive power. He's right. And the Bible calls it darkness and light. And that's what we have. On the political realm, no matter who you are, no matter which party you're in or parties, you have darkness and you have light. The Christian always goes with the light. So the wicked is going to be, they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. They will not be raised to eternal life. It will not be annihilation, because the Bible teaches there is a place of punishment where the worm just doesn't die. The worm dieth not. The fire is not quenched. But that doesn't scare people. There's a movie that some of you might be acquainted with. There's a real wicked man. It's a Western. And he did some very wicked things. He killed a friend of another man in the movie. And I never will forget, I like the part when he talks about it. And this friend that had his associate killed by this man, he said, but that didn't fear him. That didn't cause him any fear, did it? He wasn't afraid, was he? And that's the way it is in the world. People aren't afraid. They're not afraid of the judgment. There's no fear. There's no trembling out there. We have words, just like in Noah's day. And the Lord's not demonstrating great things and telling you, you know, it's going to be tonight. It's not going to happen. In John chapter 11, Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it says in John 11, 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I love to hear that, because I guess feel the same way probably sometimes in weakness. We try to limit God, and God, with God all things are possible. So whatever you ask of God, you can do it right now. So Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. It's just going to be a few minutes. It's not going to be very long. Your brother's going to rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Where'd she learn that? Where'd she learn that the resurrection was on the last day? The judgment is on the last day. The second coming of Christ is on the last day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we've mentioned all the chapters tonight, some of them very briefly. We've studied it. 1 Thessalonians 5, if you would like to turn to that, and verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Times evidently refers to whatever period of time that we have in history. Seasons seem to be used in a more specific way, just like we have four seasons in the year. A little bit more definite. He says, for yourselves know perfectly. How many things do you know perfectly? That the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, you read about thieves breaking in broad daylight, don't you? But there's no doubt, if you had a record of it, that in every time throughout history from the beginning of time, there are more people, more thieves breaking into houses at night than in the daytime. They're bolder. And he said, that's the way Jesus is going to come back. You know how to prepare for that? You know how to get ready for that? Be a Christian, number one, and walk in the light. That's it. Two steps. Be a Christian. Become a Christian. Take one day at a time. Walk in the light. You have to make a decision that you believe it's important to be ready. You'll never make that decision without faith. All I can do is present the Word of God. In verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I do not know the full import of that statement. I can tell you what many other Bible students say, and it seems to be something that we should keep in our minds, that whatever the situation in the world may be, it seems like there's going to be a situation where they'll kind of say everything's peaceful, everything's safe. I think we should keep it in our minds. I don't know the full intent on it, but he mentions it, and I could not leave it out. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So we're not in darkness. We are enlightened. We have all these scriptures. We'd probably go at least another month or two if we were to study all the scriptures on the second coming. Matthew 24, they are intermingled in my judgment. I have no doubt about it. Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 21. We've mentioned some in John. A lot of scriptures. So we're not in darkness. The day shall not overtake us as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That confirms what we just said, doesn't it? I read a book a long time ago in school. It's in political science by a man by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. It's called like Children of Light. And he talked about the political world. And he was right. He was looking at it. He was a type of preacher, but he was looking at it from the viewpoint as that you have light and darkness. And what he said is many times the children of light are very naive toward evil. And that is the case. Sometimes individuals do not understand evil. The devil has no goodness in him, no mercy. And there are people like that in the world. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober carries the idea. Actually, it's a word that we use, you know, when a person is very sober and not drunk. It carries the idea that you're alert, that you're sober-minded, that you're serious-minded. If you do not believe these scriptures and you fail to make preparation, you're not seriously-minded. You're not sober-minded. As Christians, we ought to watch. We don't know when he's coming. I think about it pretty much all the time. I would encourage you to think about it every single day. I don't know how else you can be vigilant, do you? About the time you were not to be vigilant, the Lord will come back and you may be into something that you should not be into. In verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Literally, that's pretty much true. And on the day of Pentecost, they said, these men aren't drunken. It's like 9 in the morning. Most time, people get drunk at night, do their carousing at night. They come out at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Now listen to this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope. Do you remember reading about that? Faith, love, and hope and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, I don't think I didn't remember this. It shows you how many times you could read something and you might not actually remember what you just read. But in studying about this, he mentioned that these are mentioned in chapter 1 in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Those are stars to follow right there. Faith, love, and hope. Every day, I guess for weeks, I receive a call from Brother Ken out in Texas. His wife died. They'd been married 67 years. He's getting a little forgetful. Sometimes he'll call me up twice. He's still calling me and talking to me, telling me what's happened. They're going to New Jersey. Matter of fact, they're up there in New Jersey. I don't think they're back yet. And that's where his wife's going to be buried. And he misses her a lot. But he's a Christian. And Paul says, sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So he said, God hath not appointed us, verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 5, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We had several scriptures on that from Ephesians and Colossians. You remember? Talking about the wrath to come. That's what's coming. That's when he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not only a God of love, but God is a God of justice. He offers justice now. He offers love now. And he loves every soul, but the wicked are going to be condemned. They're not going to ruin heaven. That's what would happen, isn't it? If you had the impenitent and the abominable and the wicked individuals, and you put them up in heaven, they would destroy it. It would be just like down here. That's why you have the separation. It's eternal. It's eternal. So he said, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they're already saved. This is eternal salvation up in heaven. That's the end of our faith, according to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. In reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should be together with him. So he's with us now. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I'm going to stick with the word world, just like the real scholars, and not put the word age, which will just confound you and mix you up in my judgment. And some of our brethren are totally confounded. So he says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So the brethren were to comfort one another. That's what we do. All of us. We try to comfort one another. Now there is another scripture in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, coming down toward the end. Verse 22, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means to set you apart, to live a holy life, sanctified through the truth, John 17 and 17. He said, I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a description of who we are. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. My view on that does not correspond with the view of some, but I do have some excellent Bible students over a period of several hundred years that we do agree on it. That's the spirit and the soul is another expression for the inner man. We can't distinguish between the two according to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. You can write that down in your Bible and look it up. And if you read all of the scriptures, all of them, every one of them on the soul and every one on the spirit, read them all, you will find that when a man dies, the soul leaves a body. And when a man dies, the spirit leaves a body. And they together make up the inner man. And they have some things that are similar. I can just tell you, I can only say what the Bible says about it. But he says we can't really distinguish fully between the two. But that's the inner man. Spirit and soul. When your soul leaves, you die. When your spirit leaves, you die. They leave at the same time. That's the inner man that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So that's going to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. God will preserve us. He'll keep us. But we have to keep in the faith. We have to walk in the light. That's the 1 John 1 and 7. Walk in the light. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So we are waiting for his return. These are all from Thessalonians. We will be in the presence of our Lord at his coming. Jesus is coming back with all of his saints, the spirits of those individuals that have gone on. If I die tonight, I'm not going to miss the resurrection. The Lord's going to come back with my spirit. In the fourth one, Jesus comes back, the dead will be raised, the living will be changed, and the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I wanted to read just very briefly from a scripture, and I'm abbreviating this. If you read the following verses afterwards, you will have much more. I want to read beginning with Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's literal. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No man, nobody knows. The angels don't know. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then we have this scripture in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 13. And again, these are parallel. In verse 31, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, he said that in Matthew, which are in heaven. Now listen to this. Neither the Son, but the Father. It was kept from the Son. Only the Father knows when that day is. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, is the Greek word luo. I asked a scholar one time at a lectureship, a Greek teacher, a Greek professor. I asked him what that word meant there. He said, that's a word luo. It means broken up and is never going to be put back together. Dissolved is excellent. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then we come to Revelation. Well, there are a lot of things I don't understand. Some of the things we'll not fully understand until they take place. But in my judgment, in Revelation 16 and verse 15, I cannot possibly consider this anything but the second coming. I do not believe that God is going to try to confuse us about this, something this important. I don't believe that he's going to take scriptures where he's coming back with his holy angels or his mighty angels, and it's maybe in a different context. I don't believe he's going to confuse us and that that's going to be talking about something but the second coming. So in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So the Lord's going to come back. He's going to come back as a thief. You're not going to know the day. You're not going to know the hour. And they're clear from the Bible that the only thing that you need to do and the most important thing for you to do is just be ready. Can you tell me this evening something that is more important for you to do than to be ready when Jesus comes back? I'm working on this scripture. You can learn when you get older, brother, and I'm telling you. Matthew 24:44. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." How many are thinking he's coming this week? It's going to be just like that. Brethren, none of us may have to die, especially God's children. The wicked, I would affirm they're going to be left behind. They're going to die and they're going to be raised from the dead. But the righteous will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be so wonderful. If you have not become a Christian, on the day of Pentecost, they obviously believed, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Can you get any clearer than that? "In the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." If you have not become a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you need to be restored, don't wait around. If you need prayers from God's people, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.